Everybody, welcome to Matt Men, your source for all things professional wrestling. I'm Andrew Zarian. I'm joined by the Stanger, Rich Stambolian.
It's me, Stang. What's going it's on, baby? Stang. How you doing?
Is that an official shirt?
This is a shirt from Collar and Elbow, and it's Heath Slater as Stang.
Oh, that's freaky. Oh, let me see. Hold on. Go back a little bit.
You see?
Oh, that's awesome. That's an awesome shirt. Yeah, love it.
I like the shirt a lot. It's very nice and loose. I feel like very breezy. It's like I'm wearing linen on a tropical island.
I'm dressed up for work, obviously, because I'm going to work today. But man, it's been a fun couple of weeks. We're getting closer to Double or Nothing. We are taking funds from you guys to pay for some of the expenses on the trip. Suncast is going, so I got to pay for. I got to get this guy a hotel. I got to get him food. I can't feed him after midnight. You know what happens, right? He's a magua.
Magua.
What are they called? Maguas?
Magwai.
Magwai. He's a magwai.
He's a magwai. Have you seen Gremlins?
Yes, one of my favorite movies.
Have you ever watched a movie?
The Gremlins movie?
Never seen it.
You know what I watched? Naked Gun the other day.
Good movie. It still Great holds movie. Up in a weird way. Very weird seeing OJ, though.
The juice is loose. We're still doing the donations. If you guys want to fund it and help the trip, very much appreciated. Rich, you will not be on this trip.
I do not think I will be going to Vegas, but if you do want to super chat as hashtag Viva Las Vegas, that money will go directly to our engineer, Suncast, so he can not live on the street during that trip in Las Vegas.
We've raised about $300 for it, and it's been a tremendous help because he's going to produce a lot of cool stuff. I'm doing a suite party at the Cosmopolitan, the F4W suite party. I'm hosting it along with Garrett. There's going to be some surprise guests stopping by. I think there's like 50 people coming already. If you want more information, obviously, you could head on over to F4WOnline.com and get information on that. Also, a lot of shows, man. You know, Rich and I were just talking about Chicago, maybe doing a quick day thing to Chicago. We have All Out coming up also in September. So there's a lot of stuff going on. Very exciting stuff. Very exciting period in wrestling again. Things are getting hot again.
Very hot.
It's very hot in this room. I don't have the air conditioner on. Is that what you're talking about? We're on our way to Double or Nothing. We got a pay-per-view.
Yeah.
This Sunday, a PLE. So, Rich, why don't you start the show?
All right. Let's start with, I guess, the yearly wave of unfortunate news of roster cuts.
Yearly, quarterly, quarterly.
Some of these are a little shocking, and some of them are kind of... I feel like WWE is always in a state of like, oh, I guess they did that, huh?
That's okay. So run down the list, and I'm curious. I want to know, like, in order, like the top three or four that you're shocked by once you're done.
Okay. I'll just give you my reaction as I do them. Dakota Kai, super shocked.
Okay.
Malcolm Bivens, not so shocked, but I figured that they could put that guy to like a lot of work because he's so good on the mic. Parker Boudreaux, Harland, little bit of a shocker. They didn't really have him do much. All they did was like, hey, we're going to shave your head and make you look as ugly as possible. And that's it. And then they fired him.
They ruined him, dude.
I think if he sticks to it, I think he'll be fine. And he's still young. So he's in his early 20s. He can do a journeyman thing. And by the time he's 30, he can show up as like a massive monster. Dexter Lumis.
Surprise.
I thought that was weird. Very surprised. Yeah. Like I told you the other day, it would be fun if he showed up on the indies as a character called Donkey Lummix. Persia Parada, a little bit shocked by that.
Yeah, me too.
Stephanie DeLandry, Draco Anthony, Blair Baldwin, the ref.
Yeah.
Vish Kanya, Mila Milani, and Raylan Devine. So apparently they're going to be doing this like every 90 days.
Yes. This is a common thing. Mm-hmm. I expect some more releases coming soon, like very soon. I don't know the exact time frame, but I was told that, this is not it. There should be some more happening. Listen, three, four of these are surprising. Five of these maybe because they were on TV regularly. I think Dakota Kai, I don't know what happened there. Malcolm Bivens, I was surprised by because he was doing really well. Stokely Hathaway, right? On the indies. Yeah. Rich, you and I have seen him a ton of times. And he's always been fantastic. I was very surprised, and I think he's beneficial. But they don't really use managers on that in that company.
No.
You're even the managers that exist are not really managers. It's like MVP. It's, you know, a wrestler valet or a wrestler manager. It's not just like a manager anymore. So I don't. Yeah. I feel bad for Bivens because he's fantastic. Harland, I think he came up too early. I think they should have kept him in developmental for a while. I think they made him look ridiculous, shaving his head and putting him in a jumpsuit when this guy is ridiculously in good shape.
Yeah.
Dexter Lumis, another one, a ton of TV time. Samuel Shaw, ton of TV time. And it went to what? They dedicated so much time into this character. And what happened? So, I mean, the Bivens stuff, you know, you could tell he didn't want to resign. I don't think Dexter Lumis was that. But Lumis is 38 years old. That's the other thing here.
That's fascinating. Maybe he'll go back to Impact and recreate that character, that similar character that he had there.
I don't know. He was in Impact till when? He was part of that gut check, right? He was in OVW, and then he was in Impact till 2015. When did he sign with WWE? He didn't sign after. I think he stayed on the indies for a while. And I think it was like 2018, 2019 he signed with WWE.
It's very bizarre when they do this, but also I think, you know, it goes back to like our old conversation of it looks like they want young, new, coachable people that have never had a taste of the indies.
Well, that's what it is, right?
Right.
They've always said that you develop all these bad habits on the indies, and it's kind of hard to break these bad habits. And I kind of understand if that's what they're going, but what they consider a bad habit is not a bad habit. It's a different way of wrestling. It's wrestling. Everybody has a different style. To them, you have to be uniformed. Their focus on developing through that NIL program, obviously, their focus is to develop one style that everybody follows. Mm-hmm. You know, you bump on those ropes the same way. Everybody runs the ropes the same way. Everybody kicks out the same way. It's fascinating because it was never like that. Everybody had different mannerisms and different movements, and now it's like everything is uniformed.
Well, I think that mentality as far as WWE goes is like way out the window. Whereas like, let's take like the 80s and 90s, for example, right? You had guys on top who all worked really different styles, right? Ted DiBiase, Roddy Piper, Hogan, and let's say Mr. Perfect, throw that in there. Jake the Snake, throw that in there as well, right? You had these guys working the higher up guys to teach them more about ring awareness and making them look good, right? Like, how good did DiBiase make Hogan look?
Yeah. Well, DiBiase had a very specific style of work. Perfect, DiBiase, Piper, Jake Roberts. I mean, Jake Roberts was a very unorthodox wrestler. His movements were different. You know, the way he would position himself. Like, I always say Kenny Omega runs the ropes the best. Like, for me, I think he has a very unique way of doing it because it's very impactful. He kind of slows it and then speeds up. They wouldn't teach him to do that.
Right. And also, you know, with this kind of like round of cuts, it's also interesting that they won't grant Roddy his release, Roderick Strong.
Yeah, well, that's another thing. So Roderick Strong asked for his release. As you know, his friends are all in AEW now. His wife, Marina, is in AEW, but he just re-signed with them like less than a year ago. He signed, you know, so he had an opportunity to leave. I just feel like, you know, whatever they promised him, what they said, well, you're going to have gold, you know, diamond mine, Marina will be involved. And then they released Marina and they cut everybody else. So he's, you know, he kind of feels dead in the water, and I get it.
Yeah, and you know, that's got to suck. You know, if you're put in that position and you're like, "Oh, you guys are firing everybody. My friends aren't here. Why won't you just let me go?"
Why won't you just let me go? Yeah. Well, I don't know. For Roddy's case, you know, he's not that young. He's been there for a while. I think in their minds they think they could utilize him to train some of this younger talent, but you know, it's not the same type of training. He's not going to be able to teach them what he likes.
Right.
Fightful. Our good friend Sean Ross App reported that he asked for his release multiple times over the last several months. So he had, I mean, does he have buyer's remorse? I guess that's what it is, right? He has contract remorse.
Possibly. I mean, like, I think that's what happened to the Good Brothers too, right? And then they got fired.
Well, the Good Brothers actually benefited from this because they were paying them a ton of money. They signed him and they let him go. And they're like, oh, great. Now we could go fuck around, you know?
Yeah.
In wrestling, you know, and have fun. Interesting stuff. Dark Side of the Ring is up in the air. You saw this, Rich?
Yeah, it looks like reports came out that it was canceled, but the producers denied it.
The producers are denying it. The report initially was that they're taking a different focus, right? They're going to talk about the territories. They're doing a different type of show.
Interesting.
Or this season might be different. I don't know. I don't know where or how the rumors started. I know that Dave mentioned this and a couple other people mentioned this, but you know, I could tell you that a lot of people, a lot of the wrestlers, Jim Ross, for example, came out and said that he wouldn't be doing this anymore. He's not going to do Dark Side of the Ring anymore.
Oh, that's very interesting.
Right? Yeah, I because, think, you know, of the editing. I think that Flair episode really upset a lot of people.
I think the last season was very, very dark. And the way it was edited really did not help anybody on camera.
And,
you know,
and by the
except for Rob Van Dam.
Except for Rob Van Dam. He's like, oh, whatever, man, you know. Van Dam is always, you know, going to come out good. I'm not defending anybody, right? But I am saying, I think what happened with that episode, they realized that there are some severe consequences for things that you say or you may not say. Like in Tommy Dreamer's case, not defending Dreamer here, right? But he came into this with the same outlook that a lot of other people did with that Flair story, that Plane Ride from Hell story, and that's it's been told in this comedic way, and he came out so unsympathetic about the situation. You know, he didn't come off that great, and I think he realized it. Was it editing? I don't know how much of that was edited, but I could tell you that if you are being interviewed on that show and you have some sort of career right now, you don't want to be interviewed. Maybe you're going to think twice about how you're going to be edited.
Well, there's that, and there's also, like, it's unfortunate that we live in a day and age where documentary and TV production, where when it has to do with such rabid fandom, also has to take into account that people have their thumbs hovering over the social media cancel button.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And the way that this was done, it was as soon as that episode aired, it was just like everybody lost their mind. I'm not defending anybody, but I think that has to be taken into account. And it seems like maybe a refocus after this last really dark season might be in order.
Listen, let me ask you this, okay? Let's say you were interviewed on that show, right? But on any episode, they interview Rich Dambolian, you know, there's an episode and you happen to know something about it, they interview you. Mm. I got a good one. The Chris Kanyon story, right?
Okay.
Chris Kanyon story. If I was interviewed in that, because I knew something about that story. I had spoken to him right before he passed away. We were in regular contact, right? If I was interviewed on that, right, and I said whatever I said, and somebody else said something, and that got twisted into something negative, even if they didn't intend it, or maybe they did, I'm going to think twice about saying, like, do I want to open myself up for interpretation like this when I don't even have the opportunity to kind of break down and explain what I'm trying to say? Because you're trying to, and I'm not saying they're doing, you know, shady editing. I'm saying they're trying to clip and consolidate and create an interesting show. At the end of the day, it's a drama. So I would think twice. Maybe that's part of the issue. But I know that Jim Ross isn't doing it. And a couple other people I heard, well, I don't want to name them, but I heard that they wouldn't do it anymore.
So what was your question to me?
My question to you was, if you're on it, right? You're doing that show. And you, not that you said anything wrong, but somebody else said something wrong. And then you saw what happened, like a Tommy Dreamer situation. Would you think twice about coming back on?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I mean, like, that's a good point. You know, like, if that was me, if I was like Dreamer or Jim Ross, I'd agree with them. I'd be like, you know what? Like, this, regardless of what it may be, this was taken out of context. And there's nothing you do about it. You know, there's nothing that you can't turn around and be like, hey, can you re-edit that? Because can you re-edit it and re-air it? This wasn't the intention or whatever, you know, because like, and also this is beyond the days of like the shoot video, right? Like you had a stack of those RF videos, right?
Oh, I love those. The RF video, the RF videos were good, really good. But the Sean Oliver interviews.
Yes.
The best. We would say this all the time, that Sean is probably one of the best interviewers in the business at that time, you know, like 2013, 2014, this guy, all those interviews, they were so fascinating. This is pre the transition into wrestling podcasts where people started becoming that. But but you know what it is, though, with those interviews, Rich? They're there for like 2.5 hours. If they F up, it's on them. It's not on Sean or the editing. It's unedited.
Right.
They're just talking.
Right. See, that I find that fascinating because he got into that interesting pocket of the pre-wrestling boom that we're experiencing now. You know, so it was like, again, this is not like they a quote per se, but let's say you had an extra $2,000 and you're like, hey, let me get like Taz for an hour, or let me get X-Pac for an hour, or let me get Kevin Nash for an hour and feed him ravioli, and then he'll just BS for an hour and you let the camera roll, you know? Yeah. I think now the landscape is so different that nobody wants to do those style interviews anymore, you know?
Which one was the spaghetti, the pasta eating interview with Kevin Nash?
It was a ravioli one.
The like ravioli one. Dude.
This guy's wife get. I love that. I love that interview. And I think we made a comment on that a few years ago and Kevin Nash blocked us.
Did he really?
But it was the most like heartfelt. Like
I think you said something like, I've never seen something more entertaining than Kevin Nash eating raviolis while talking about wrestling.
I still believe that. I think it's.
I would want to eat raviolis with him. Wouldn't you?
Wouldn't you like to have it? I mean, I'm going to ask you a question.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you love to be interviewed at somebody's house where you're being served pasta and wine?
Oh, yeah.
And just chatting about like podcasting or whatever.
You know how I would be sitting?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Cross legs like this. The whole interview. Lean back, cross legs, eating my bowl of pasta.
Like real like comfortable, like
very
oozing.
Comfortable. Yeah. Oozing. You know what? We should do an episode like a special on just those like shoot interviews and what were the best ones.
I would love to.
Yeah. We should do
I do have
like
some
that.
Favorites. Yeah. The Sabu one is amazing.
The RVD one is really good with the HBK impersonation. A lot of the Jim Cornette stuff is good. The Book in the Territory ones are good. There is one I gotta tell you, I would watch this. There is one where Vince Russo books the Invasion.
Oh boy.
I'm sorry, he books I think he does WCW and then he books the Invasion also, right? Together. Uh-huh. I gotta tell you, I was entertained. I didn't necessarily agree with everything he said, but I'm like, you know what? I always find people's perspective on how and why they would do things very interesting. Jim Cornette, I think, did one too.
Yeah. And you know what? Here's another thing. Brandon made a good point in the chat room here. Those Table for Three episodes on the WWE Network were amazing because it was almost the same thing. It's these guys eating like steak and potatoes. And it's very corporate, you know, and I'm sure they WWE probably really had to edit those down. But those are also fascinating when you hear like those road stories, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Very interesting. All right. What else do we have?
It looks like Rampage. This is good for us. As soon as I read this, I got very happy. Rampage this Friday will start at 7:30 Eastern because of the NBA playoffs. 5:30 Eastern.
That's, you know what? First of all, I don't think that's a good sweet spot.
For us, it is.
No, not for me. For you.
Yeah. Oh, definitely for me.
7 o'clock is good. Yeah, definitely for you. 5:30 East. I mean, you'd be shocked. Maybe you're going to get a ton of viewers. I don't know. It's a weird time slot for sure.
It is a very weird time slot, but you get it. Let's say you're a kid and you're in school. You get out of school at 3 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Boom. Wrestling's on at 5:30.
Yeah,
amazing.
Yeah. Very cool.
I try to take Friday afternoons off every week. So for me, fantastic. I'll probably be a couple of beers in at that point.
Nice. Love it. Tony Khan officially owns Ring of Honor. The sale was finalized yesterday. We still don't have a TV deal. I know he's working on it. I expect that announcement in a couple weeks. I can't imagine that they're gonna stall this out now that the deal is finalized. You know, they're not going to announce it. But I would expect something, you know, a month at least, at most. They got to figure out. I mean, do you put them on TV or does this become a digital property?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think he's going to test the waters. Clearly, he's really giddy and having fun with this new thing, you know, as evident by last night's main event on Dynamite.
Yeah.
I think he's really into just owning Ring of Honor. And who knows, man? Like, what would you do if you had all this access to everything? Keep in mind the Forbidden Door show is coming up. You have Ring of Honor in your pocket. You're working on all these new deals. Like, what would your plan be if you were Tony Khan?
With the products, I think eventually they are going to have to do something that nobody else has been able to do, and that's a WrestleMania. You know, Starcade was an attempt at it, but Starcade was never even remotely close to what WrestleMania became. I think Tony's going to have to start thinking about, okay, are we in, you know, it's year 3, year 4. are we in a position to be able to put together a 30 to 40,000 person stadium show? Is this a reality for AEW? I don't know that answer today. I don't know. I think they could. They very well could, but I don't know how easily they could do it. You know, we saw them do Arthur Ashe with 19.8. Let's say 20,000. Right. Let's round it up, right? And that was a Dynamite, a regular Dynamite, in a venue that's never been used, in a market that's oversaturated. You know, there's a lot of pros and cons here. It wasn't just all pros or all uphill battle. There was a lot of negatives and positives here, and they were able to do 20,000. So if you think about, you know, include mega matches with New Japan, incorporate Ring of Honor, incorporate AAA, incorporate
Impact,
you have now, and this is what we spoke about. I mean, you and I spoke about this when All In happened.
Yeah.
We saw it, right? Like, immediately we were like, oh, I get it. This is, I mean, if they do this yearly, this could be that once a year, everybody comes together type show. The big test for Tony will be if he could put together a big stadium show yearly and compete with a WrestleMania. If he can do that, that's tremendous.
That's amazing. That would be amazing.
You got to know, it's all timing, man. It's all timing at the end of the day. Let's see what else. Tessa Blanchard reportedly had a falling out with WOW, Women of Wrestling, as per Fightful. Some of the talent think that she's already gone. I don't know. I think, you know, another resurrection of WOW.
Yeah, but this has been talked about for like a couple of years, right?
I mean, I guess. Isn't AJ involved? AJ Lee involved?
I believe so. Yeah, I did like so GLOW. I'd rather see another season of GLOW.
You want to see another? Which got canceled, yeah. New Japan news. Let's go into this, Rich.
All right. We're getting the Best of the Super Juniors, and the competitors have been announced. This is going to be a lot of fun. Block A, Taguchi, Hiromu, Yo from Shonen Yo, Yoshinobu Kanemaru, Ishimori, Sho, Clark Connors from NBA Strong, Alex Zane, Ace Austin, and Francesco Akira. Block B, Master Wato, Robbie Eagles, Bushi, Doki, El Desperado, El Fantasmo, Titan, TJP, Wheeler Yuta, and El Lindemann. So we're having like a lot of different companies involved with the Best of the Super Juniors here.
Yeah. Yeah. Very cool.
You think Yuta's going to take it?
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think so.
I think it's going to come down to Yuta and Taguchi, and he's going to be like, wait, are you my dad?
Are you my dad? Wrestling Dotaku newsworthy highlights here. Bedlock Fale and Chase Owens with the IWGP Tag Team win the IWGP Tag Team Championship. Thank you, MG, with the IWGP Never Openweight Championship. Tama Tonga defeated Evil in that match. IWGP United States Heavyweight Championship. Hiroshi Tanahashi defeated Tomohiro Ishii isn't it weird having him have that title, Tanahashi?
I like it. I like it as like, hey, I'm still kind of the guy sort of thing, you know, because like, I don't think they're going to put that big belt on him anytime soon. I think he's done with that world championship, but having him hold the U.S. championship, it gives that belt more prestige.
Yeah. After the match, Juice Robinson, which recently re-signed with New Japan, attacked Tanahashi and reveals he is Bullet Club.
Great addition.
Great addition. And we'll talk about the Bullet Club after the news here. Fatal 4-Way for the U.S. title has been made for Washington, D.C. Moxley versus Ospreay versus Juice Robinson versus Tanahashi. IWGP Ridiculous. World Heavyweight Championship. Kazuchika Okada. Is it? I don't know what he's doing here. I'm very confused.
Okada beat Naito. And afterwards, Okada took the beatdown from kind of like a reunified Bullet Club. Got you know, this is making me get more excited about all the Bullet Club stuff again, because you have a solid group of dudes that I think were just waiting for that travel ban to be over. And now it's going to be like crazy.
Yeah, who's going to go there, you think, from North America? Who isn't there? The Good Brothers, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we'll get Moxley, Good Brothers. Well, maybe we'll get Danielson, some of the other guys over there. I think it's going to be interesting. Dominion main event made, Kazuchika Okada Defending the IWGP World Heavyweight title against Jay White. Very interesting awesome. Here, what they do with this. Tama Tonga defending the NEVER Openweight Championship against Carl Anderson.
Great.
Chase Owens and Bad Luck Fale defending the IWGP Tag Team Championship against the Great O'Con and Jeff Cobb. Are you a fan of the Great O'Con?
You know what? I can't say I am. I get it, but I'm also like, Great O'Con unfortunately does nothing for me. But I do kind of like Jefferton Cobberton.
Jefferton Cobberton is great. Shingo Takagi defends the King of Pro Wrestling 2022 Provincial Trophy against Taichi.
It's going to be a fun match.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, did you see that Defy show?
I did not.
So Defy had a show. So Defy is, you know, a West Coast based promotion. Great. I mean, it's been fantastic the last couple of years. They aired on Pluto TV, which was very cool. Mm-hmm. John Moxley beat Tom Lawler, F4W's very own Filthy Tom Lawler, in a bloodbath. Okay. It was really fantastic match. After Mox said Lawler was a friend of BCC, then he teased bringing American Dragon next time.
Ooh.
Yeah, very cool stuff. Very cool. All right, Raw. Let's talk about Raw very quickly, because this is going to tie into the pay-per-view. Roman Reigns and the Usos and Paul Heyman started the show. Randy Orton and Riddle popped in the ring and dropped both Usos with RKOs. I got to tell you, McIntyre came out and confronted Reigns. Kids love this. This was really over with kids.
Yeah.
I got my buddy Mike called me and he's like, are you watching Raw? I had just walked in. I'm like, no, not yet. I haven't turned it on. Why? He goes, turn it on and let me know what you think, because my kids are losing it right now. They absolutely love this. And you know what? That's a positive. That's a positive. They should be enjoying this. AJ Styles and team.
This is supposed to be Finn Balor?
Yeah.
Oh, this is making me giggle so much whenever I see the live notes being tweaked as you're reading them.
AJ Styles and Finn and team up to fight. AJ Styles and team up apparently are fighting. AJ Styles and Finn Balor team up to fight against the Judgment Day, which is Edge and Damian Priest. Do you think of this?
These guys are too sweet and all over the place. I like it. I like it. Do you think that's a reaction to like the stuff that's going on in Japan, like a little tongue in cheek?
I think so. I think 100%. It's a little. But think about it, right? Look at it. Look at AEW. Look at the top guys in that company. All Bullet Club. WWE, Bullet Club. Cody's the hottest. You know, is a very hot commodity for them. Another leader of Bullet Club. Finn Balor, a leader of Bullet Club. AJ Styles, a leader of Bullet Club. They have really the impact of Bullet Club, which this is. I want to go into this a little bit. Will be the story here of the next X amount of years. Like somebody in passing made a joke to me. They're like, you know what the best developmental territory was in the 2010s? I go, what? He goes, Bullet Club.
Absolutely.
And he's absolutely right. Think of all the stars that came out of it compared to the stars that didn't. I mean, this last version of Bullet Club, let's kind of slow it down because they're realizing what they're doing now. They're
Pandemic Bullet Club.
The Pandemic Bullet Club. Let's ignore that. But from the inception of the Bullet Club to now, how many world champions do they have? How many top names do they have? It's endless.
It really is. And also, you know what, my favorite, we talk about the Bullet Club a lot, and as we should, but one of my favorite things of why it worked is because it was effing cool. You know?
It was cool. Yeah, it was effing cool. Yeah, same thing with NWO, same thing with DX. Yeah. You know, they were cool until they weren't. Bullet Club was cool. But the fact that, you know, these guys all are in major positioning in wrestling. And now is the conversation was it the Bullet Club that gave them a little bit of that rub and that confidence? Or was it that it was just a ensemble of really, really great wrestlers?
I think it was the talent and the attitude. You know, like these guys, like for the most part, have put on like 5-star matches for the past like who knows how many years, right? And it was also kind of like the Island of Misfit Toys a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Where you had your foreigners originally starting it, the Bucks coming in, Gallows coming in, and then you get that Kenny, you get that formation of like it was almost talent that no other company knew what to do with.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, boom, they're like the Bad Boys of wrestling again. Got a cool t-shirt. You're doing cool and fun stuff in Japan. And it bled over into like the American fandom. I think AJ was such a huge get for them. And at this point, I feel like, again, this is just my personal feelings, I think WWE is like, we need to keep AJ and Finn as happy as possible, because if these guys leave, it's going to rock the boat again.
Well, it would 100% rock the boat. So I'm curious to see what they do with this. It's a good team. It's two guys that they don't really have much for after this, after that Edge match that AJ has. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Bianca Belair, Asuka, Liv Morgan defeated Becky Lynch, Rhea Ripley, and Sonya Deville also. Do we have time for NXT? I guess NXT champion Bron Breakker defeated Joe Gacy to retain the title. All right, cool.
Great.
All right, now let's go into Backlash, Rich.
Sure.
You know what? I'm sorry. I would love to talk about NXT. We just don't have time, and there's so much more other stuff going on.
You know what? It's fine. And even if you were being sarcastic about that, I agree with you.
I really wasn't. I really...
Can we do an entire sarcastic episode?
WWE Backlash looks like it's going to be a terrible show. Like that?
Looks like this is going to be great.
Yeah. I like that. Okay. Got it. Let's run down the card, Rich.
Looks like we're going to get an I Quit match for the SmackDown Women's Championship. Charlotte Flair versus Ronda Rousey. Are you looking forward to this one?
So I said this to Garrett on Tuesday, right? Like, I forgot there was a pay-per-view this Sunday. I forgot it's Mother's Day. Maybe it's me. My Mother's Day. It's Mother's Day. Mother's Day. I was kind of caught off guard by this. And I was looking at this, like, there's not a lot of interest, right? And so the WrestleMania name, they're using this for leverage with this show.
For sure.
They think the WrestleMania name has some sort of... it does have prestige, I should say. I shouldn't say some sort of. But it's... If you're trying to convince people to watch, if you put a WrestleMania in front of it, people are going to be willing to watch it because they think something big is going to happen.
Right,
also,
right.
USA is trying to position the show on Monday, much like a Raw after WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
That's the concept that they want to go with as far as marketing this. I don't know if the TV show is going to be represented like that, but they would like to make the Monday show feel like a big show, which I think they should. Marketing capitalize on this big pay-per-view, right? So oh, yeah. I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to contradict what I'm saying, right?
Okay.
I had no interest in this. Like, I'm like, okay, whatever. And then you read the matches and you're like, you know what? These are really good matches. I Quit match, SmackDown Women's Championship, Charlotte Flair, Ronda Rousey. I kind of want to see what they do here. Because I'm very curious what they do with Ronda, because this has not been the best run for her since coming back.
It has not. This run has so far been a little bit lackluster, unfortunately. You're also getting the undisputed WWE Universal Champion Roman Reigns and the Usos versus Drew McIntyre and RK-Bro.
So what happened to the title? What happened to the unification for the tag titles?
Yeah, it's a good question. Maybe
they
do it on that Monday. Yeah, exactly.
Maybe they do. I'm curious if they're still going to go that direction. Maybe they just didn't really. I mean, we spoke about this. There was really nothing planned for Roman. Like, they didn't really know what to do with him. There was no like opponent for the next paper. They teased the Shinsuke stuff, right? And then that just disappeared. They teased Drew and him, and then now that's like they're doing a tag match now. So you can't go to Drew immediately. Where do you go with Drew? The next pay-per-view, which is,
you know,
what? Money in the Bank?
Yeah. Is it Money in the Bank? Money in the Bank is usually in July. So
No. It's June.
June? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm convinced, apart from like merchandising and dates and, you know, like network stuff, like corporate stuff, WWE writes this shit like an hour before it airs.
You think that's how it works?
I think it's very much like, hey, boss, what about the unification? What? Who cares? Just do something else. You know? Like,
Hell in a Cell. Hell in a Cell is the next one at the Allstate Arena.
Okay.
Yeah, and then it's Money in the Bank.
We're also getting Cody versus Seth. This is where I think Cody takes the pin.
I don't think he should.
Even Steven.
And
even
is this the main event? Do you make this the main event?
That is true. That would be a good main event. You also have Edge versus AJ, which that could also be a main event, right? You have Happy Corbin versus Madcap Moss. That should be on main event.
So there's six matches, right? Six matches.
And then Bobby Lashley versus Omos.
There you go. I would... four out of the six are pretty good, man. Ronda Rousey, Charlotte Flair, that the 3-on-3, Cody and Seth, Edge and AJ. If this show is like 3.5 hours, right, and ends at like 11 o'clock,
perfect.
I think everybody's happy. Everybody says, "Wow, you know what? That was a really good wrestling show."
I agree with you 1,000,000%.
All right, good. That's what I like to hear. I like hearing people agree with me. AEW Dynamite last night. It was an okay show. It was a fine show.
It was a fine show. It was good. It was fun to watch.
There were a couple moments that stood out to me, but I think it was just, you know, NBA is going to crush them. It's the early NBA playoffs. Everybody's getting crushed. You know, CM Punk was not there. So you have, you know, you build that next week. Next week's a big show in Long Island. So I think they kind of knew, like, listen, we're going to do our best. We're going to put on a really good wrestling show, but we're not really moving much.
Yeah, yeah.
Owen Hart Foundation qualifier. Jeff Hardy defeated Bobby Fish. That Swanton scares me now.
Yeah. I was watching this last night with my wife, and I was like, how?
With who? Who are you watching?
With my wife. My Greek wife. How? Greek wife. I was like, how immortal looking do Jeff Hardy and Matt Hardy look?
Dude, these guys are, it's unbelievable the run that they've had.
They're really well into their 40s, and they huge still pop. Look like they're in their 20s.
Huge pop for Jeff and Matt when he came out.
Yeah.
I thought it was a good match. You know, Bobby Fish looked great. Jeff won. He continues on in the qualifier. Very cool. See what else here. My notes are freezing.
Blackpool Combat Club. Did you? Okay, I'll take it.
All right, you take it.
Blackpool Combat Club, Brian Danielson, John Moxley, and Willer Yuta defeated the Andrade Family Office, Butcher Blade and Angelico. That was a fun match.
Yeah, that was fun.
Up next, you had Wardlow beating the former Big Cass, William Morrissey, who looked effing tremendous.
Yeah, I got a couple messages about him.
Did you?
From people. Yeah, I did.
Did you know?
People wanted to know when his contract's end.
Yeah, I good for the guy for getting himself clean, sober, and in shape. Yo, he looked awesome. Old school, too. Old school, big dude.
Big dude,
covered
in
oil.
Covered in oil. Listen, that is the Whitestone Bayside look.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, you go and you tan a little and you just oil up and we just walk around shirtless, tan and oiled. That's
super
all the
tan.
Look is. The whole neighborhood is that. It's just a bunch of men oiled up and greased up. I got to tell you though, you're absolutely right. He looked freaking impressive.
Yes.
Wardlow, big time Goldberg walkout.
Yes.
He looked good. There was a key moment where the crowd was chanting, "We want Enzo." No, we don't. 50-50 split.
Wow.
And Morrissey does like the Enzo shuffle and he goes, "Get the F out of here." No, you know, like pretty much saying, like, I don't want that. Man, you know what? I want to see Enzo somewhere.
Same here. And again,
I don't care what anybody says.
Same here, which I keep saying to people. Can you imagine a back and forth between Enzo and Eddie Kingston?
Oh, fantastic.
Somehow. Yeah. On AEW.
Yeah.
Also, whenever I see this, when I saw this version of William Morrissey, Big Cass last night, right? It makes me think of what Hogan said about him a few years ago.
Where
he was like, man, if I could turn back the clock, I would have had a run with Big Cass, like on top. You know? Because he's a giant. Believable when he has that intensity, he's a very believable big man. You know, he's not like, I think this is the version that WWE probably always wanted, like not so much the goofball, but like a really intense big man.
Well, they tried that, right? Wasn't that what they were trying to do with him with when he came out and started feuding with Danielson?
But it fell flat.
And it fell flat. Totally fell flat. Totally fell flat. I think here's the thing about him, right? These guys were arguably, probably at one point, the hottest act in WWE. When they came out during that Rumble, I think they were at the Alamo Dome, right? That Rumble that he came out at, like, number one and two, whatever it was.
Mm.
That entrance was so, I mean, main event. People were so into them as a top act. Now, I'm not saying like a world championship. I'm saying as a top act. It got over really well, regardless of you liking Enzo and Cass or not, because everybody loved him until Enzo turned heel and then everybody started hating him, right?
You're talking about in life or on TV?
In life. No. In life. Yeah. He turned heel on TV, and in life, everybody hated him. You know, he had an unfortunate situation that caused him to get fired. I think he put himself in a really bad situation there. But
yeah,
you live and you learn. I would imagine, you know, if you could get this again, lightning in a bottle a second time, you're gonna want to do it. I don't necessarily think it's an act in AEW, but I do want to see them do something. I think Morrissey has a really good future. He's still young. You don't get guys that size, and he was, I mean, in ring wise, he had improved astronomically. He really showed some really promise.
Yeah.
So, go ahead, Rich.
Let me ask you. Okay, so do you think that AEW crowd is too smart, quote unquote, for an Enzo and Cass?
No, they'll eat them up. They'll love
you. Think just yeah. like, yeah, interesting. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think they'll boo him. They'll say like, "Oh, we don't like the act." I think they'll get into it, you know, if it's done right. So
you know,
I'd
like to see them get over in New Japan, to be honest with you. Like, but Enzo speaking perfect Japanese with the same voice,
fluent, perfect, and oh my god,
and just getting over like over there. Like, imagine that, right?
My Dr. Fauci is Enzo, same voice.
Arigato gozaimasu. And then just the crowd goes bananas.
Love it. So he beat him with a power bomb, one power bomb. Yeah. He didn't do the multiple power bomb finish. I think it was to kind of protect Impact's big act there. Listen, man, I can't see Morrissey staying in Impact too much longer.
No.
You know, I think either WWE or AEW is going to really want him. He's a guy that he has a good delivery, right? He's improved tremendously. He's clean and sober. And God, I hope he stays that way. And I hope he eliminated all those problems. Because if he stays the way he's been doing, I think this guy's going to be tremendous.
I got one for you.
Mm.
You ready?
Yeah.
Bron Breakker's looking to get that. Bron Breakker with the NXT title.
Yeah.
Out comes Big Cass.
Mm.
New NXT.
There we go. Yeah, they could do something like that. That might be cool too. I'm cool with that. Listen, I just got to look out for a little Queens bro, you know?
Absolutely.
We're all Queens boys here. We got to look out for each other. I hope you know, very successful career. MJF finally agreed to a match with Wardlow, the contract signing next week, and he'll unveil the stipulations in Long Island. Great. So, listen, man. Not going to say WWE is going to take him, but I could tell you that WWE is definitely impressed by him.
Right.
There's no way around it, man. You know, when I got a message on last night while he's coming out, and somebody wrote, "Do you see this effing guy?" You know,
big. They still love the bigs.
Listen, I'm a body guy. I love wrestling. I'm a total body guy, but I also love good wrestling. I'm a body boy.
Same here.
I'm body boy. Hangman body Page boy. Came out. Heel promo. What did you think of it?
I thought it was cool, man. I want to see a little more flavor to the guy. I love Hangman. I don't think he's going to hang on to that belt for very long, to be honest with you.
You know, it's so unfortunate.
Yeah.
So he said, at Double or Nothing, there's not going to be a handshake or a masturbatory Bret Hart tribute match.
Nice little dig.
Nice dig. Really nice dig. Listen, this is a big match, especially for Hangman. But also, this is you have to look at how pivotal this is for AEW.
Yeah.
Right? This is going to be a interesting moment for them, because you look at the lineage of that title.
Yep.
Chris Jericho, John Moxley, Kenny Omega, Hangman Page, and maybe now CM Punk. It's a very unique, I think Jericho being the first for that title is that honorary, like, look at, this is what this title represents.
Absolutely.
Someone that came up in the business and he, you know, the door was shut on him multiple times, but he persevered and he became, you know, this great world heavyweight champion multiple times in WWE.
Yep.
I think they wanted that to be their, I don't know, I don't know, like a Flair holding the title or a Luthez, you know?
Sure, yeah.
In the lineage, like 20, 30, and thinking, in the future, like 30 years from now, right? Like, let's say, God willing, they're still in business, mm-hmm. wrestling is hot, people say, 30 years from now, dude, do you know how old we are?
Yeah.
We're almost 70 years old in 30 years.
That'd be cool. Are we still going to be doing the show?
You know what? I got to tell you, can you imagine anybody watching us at 768 and 70 years old?
Absolutely. We'll still be the best.
We'll still be the best.
We'll still be the funnest, most bestest.
We'll still be the cutest teen heartthrobs at Absolutely. 70 years old.
I think
having CM Punk on that is really good. But now the question is, okay, so CM Punk gets the title. Where do you go from there? Who beats CM Punk? I think the big match in Chicago for him will have to be him losing
to Kenny Omega.
Kenny MJF?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was thinking about this last night, like, what amazing heat in that building.
Oh,
my God. Last match in Chicago, and MJF just wins clean right in the middle in Chicago against CM Punk. I mean, man.
Riotous. You know what would be even more riotous than that?
What?
Let's say CM Punk heads to Chicago as champ, mm-hmm. right? And this is complete fantasy booking, right? Unknown opponent. It's John Cena.
Fantasy book. You're fantasy booking.
Does the crowd riot?
They set the building
on fire. Does it eat it up? Or does it does the AEW crowd really eat it up?
Here's my question. Does John Cena have a really bad dye job beard and in like black tights?
Total goatee.
Total goatee. Okay.
Evil
no,
John
no
Cena.
No jorts. Like spandex pants.
No jorts. He comes out like he's ready to wrestle.
Yeah. Very cool. I'm into it.
Because you have to think, like, if Punk loses in Chicago, who's the person to beat him? You know,
it has to be MJF. I don't think it should be Kenny. I think it should be MJF if he's losing in Chicago, because you want to create a master heel with like Triple H level heat. Do you remember how disappointing it was Cactus losing all those matches?
Yeah,
to Hunter.
Yeah,
like it was one of the first. What is that figure behind you?
Which one
is that? A Danhausen?
No, that's King Diamond.
Oh, let me see. Bring it.
Bring it in.
I was like, who do you have there? Whoa.
Great little King Diamond figure.
Oh, that is a great little King Diamond figure.
This thing's awesome.
Yeah,
I love that. Super 7 put it out, so yeah. It could easily be a Danhausen figure, though.
It could be a Danhausen figure. It's the same gimmick.
It's like Danhausen's dad.
It is Danhausen's dad. Dude, I'm looking at King Diamond right now. It is Danhausen's dad. What a great gimmick.
Yeah, so if MJF beats Punk in Chicago, I feel like, A, that would make the crowd go absolutely apeshit, right? I think this dude would have to be escorted out of the arena, like old school.
Old school, like Piper style. Yeah. Like security. Like, you know what? Add that even more to it. You know what I mean? Like, what a great...
Yeah.
Have them come out with the security because they're afraid of what the crowd is going to do. Have them leave with the security. Very mm-hmm. cool stuff. I don't know. I would like to see a long Punk reign. It might be cool. You might get some really unique matches on TV, because I really know that he wants this company to work. So he's going to work super hard at it. Chris Jericho has a new name now. He's the Wizard. The Wizard Chris. You know what? Another reinvention. And I think it's so absurd. It's fantastic. The Wizard.
He's going to have to start doing like magic, like electricity shit.
Yeah, I would love him to do like magic from his fingers.
That would be fun.
I'm cursing you. It's not working.
You have the Varsity Blondes calling out the House of Black. This is like a very slow burn story, huh?
A little too slow.
You think so? You think it should be sped up a little bit?
Yeah, it could be me. I was not crazy about this segment. I think it was a little all over the place. They've teased the Julia Hart stuff for a while now, right? So the story is she got misted. This poison has now seeped into her brain. The mist is getting bigger and bigger. You saw on TV this week. I mean, it was like all this whole side is like black now. And the House of Black runs down everybody, beats the crap out of everybody. Hold on. I wish you. Hold on. I got to read what you're writing. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for that. Welcome. We're sharing notes to each other like we're in elementary school. You know, they do the beatdown, and Julia Hart now takes the chair and teases that she's going to hit Griff Garrison with the chair and she couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I mean, I would imagine, you know, this kind of ties into the show next week because the Julia Hart miss spot happened at the last Long Island show.
Yes.
You think she turns next week?
Two more weeks. Like you said, this is too slow for you. I think it's going to be within the next month, you're going to get that turn.
I think that they've teased this very long already. Like, you've reached the pinnacle of this. I don't think they could go on a little longer. Like, it didn't make me want to see it more next week. I wanted to see it this week.
Right.
So, like, next week, it's like, oh, okay, I guess now they'll have to do it. But, like, this would have been the moment. Mm-hmm. I thought it would have been a cool moment for them to do. Maybe they want to be in front of that Long Island crowd. Maybe they want to tell the story of it being, you know, since the last Long Island show that it happened. So that may play a part in this. Maybe that's why they delayed it. I'm curious to see where this goes with Julia Hart. And listen, this is the... I mean, don't we want to see the loose cannon gimmick?
That he gets broken and then just goes bananas?
And I thought they were going to do that the last time. Remember when he came out with that Venom shirt?
Mm-hmm.
He came out wearing that Venom shirt. And maybe I'm reading too much, right? And someone needs to send this to him. I thought, I was like, oh, I get it. He's gotten poisoned. The symbiote is in him. You know, like, he's going to start getting a little nutty now. But maybe taking Julia from him does it. Maybe that's when he becomes the loose cannon and maybe turns on Griff and blames Griff for the problem. There's a lot that you could do here with him. I'm a big supporter of Pillman.
Same.
I want to see him do more. I want to see what else he could do outside of the Varsity Blondes gimmick. But, okay, you know what? He's a young guy. He's coming up. I think there's time to do it. I'm just waiting for that moment.
Absolutely. They want to pull the trigger on, like that intense gimmick, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Owen Hart Foundation Cup qualifier, Ray Phoenix, defeated Dante Martin in a, like, this match was insane.
Ping pong. These two
ping
dudes
pong.
Are nuts. Yeah.
Yeah. There was a Dante countered a Spanish fly landing on his feet with Penta. Phoenix wins with the elevated fire thunder driver. This was a bonkers match.
These guys are nuts, man.
They just did moves. I mean, it was move after move after move. You know what? Good showing. Dante looked great.
Oh, yeah. He's going to have a bright future.
I hope so. What else do we have?
Your main event, the undisputed Ring of Honor Women's World Championship, Mercedes Martinez beating Deonna Purrazzo.
How did you wish he spelt it?
Deonda Pazozo.
Yeah, there you go. Deonda Pazozo. But you know what he did? You know how he did what he did, right? He copied and pasted Deonda Purrazzo because there's a little copyright thing next to her name.
That may have just happened, by the way.
You did that?
Made by accident because it said it was like a champion because she had the RH thing. But you know what? Like a little inside baseball. Like sometimes we look at these notes and they're riddled with misspellings. And most of the time they're really funny. And sometimes I just wait for that real big one that throws you off. You know,
yeah, like the Deonda Pazozo. Which one was the biggest one?
I think that was the one. The original, the first time he wrote Deonda Purrazzo in the notes, it was like, it was bizarre. It was like Diana Pazuzzi.
Deandra Pazizio.
Deandra Pazizio from Passaic.
Deanna Pazizio is from Passaic, New Jersey. Perfect.
What do you think about this match?
I thought it was good. I hope that they use them more. I think this was the right decision for Ring of Honor. You know, Deonna was protected. Obviously, she's an impact, but she was very much protected. Yeah. Mercedes Martinez, you know what? Ring of Honor world champion. Undisputed Ring of Honor world champion. You know, they're getting there. They are lining everything up now. And I think they have three really good champions between Jonathan Gresham, Mercedes Martinez, and Samoa Joe. They have some, you know, and then obviously Wheeler Yuta, some really good champions. And FTR.
Yeah, and FTR.
Very good lineup. I mean, yeah.
Building the brand.
And it feels like Ring of Honor, right? Doesn't it feel like a Ring of Honor lineup?
It does. It does. Now, conversely, how do you feel about Serena Deeb versus Thunder Rosa? Because that was also on last night.
Yes, that was on last night. So, I like the story. I like the story a lot about how she would go up and down the California coast, right? The West Coast to see those matches. So, there is that built-in story there. There was a moment, I forgot what it was, but something was said and Thunder Rosa goes, yeah, I agree with you fully. That's absolutely correct. I forgot what it was, but it was like so out of character with her agreeing with her.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, absolutely. I think you're absolutely right. I think that'll be a great match. They're both really good workers.
Yeah.
Fantastic match. So we'll see that. So far, Owen Hart Foundation Men's Tournament first round matches. You ready for this?
Ready.
Rey Fénix versus Kyle O'Reilly.
Bang. Amazing.
Jeff Harvey. He called him Jeff Harvey, right? Was it Jeff Harvey? Steve Harvey's son, Jeff Harvey versus Darby Allin.
Bang.
Adam Cole versus Dax Harwood.
Great.
Samoa Joe versus the Joker. Who might the Joker be?
Enzo.
It's me, Enzo.
It's me.
I don't know who the Joker will be. Is it somebody debuting? Do you do someone debuting, or do you do someone from Ring of Honor that you could continue a story with?
Claudio.
Oh, Claudio. It could be Claudio. It could be... No, but... I don't understand this bracket, okay? And I'm going to tell you why. They had qualifiers for this, right?
Right.
So why do you have a Joker if you did qualifiers for weeks? And you never mentioned the Joker. Like, you never, like...
Great question, Andrew.
Am I wrong to think that way? When, especially with a bracket? Right. Like, when you do brackets, shouldn't a Joker be on for this first round? Like, somebody gets randomly a Joker? Whatever. It doesn't matter.
Miro?
It could be Claudio. It could be Miro. Some people were saying Gargano.
Sure.
Right? You could bring in Gargano.
Yeah.
And then the finals. Man, oh. Ooh, dude.
What are you thinking?
I'm thinking the finals may end up being Joe and Adam Cole.
That would be fantastic.
So let's look at this bracket. Let's do our prediction. Rey Fénix, Kyle O'Reilly. I'm going to say Kyle O'Reilly wins. Who are you going with? Sorry. Go ahead.
Rey Fénix.
Okay. You're going to go with Rey Fénix. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's break down this bracket a little bit. I'm going to write this down on my pro healthcare bill. All right, let's do... You're going with Fénix, right? Fénix for Rich?
Yeah.
And I go O'Reilly. And then you got Hardy, and you got Darby Allin. Who do you go?
Darby.
Darby also? Cole and Harwood.
Ooh, you know what? I'm going to go Dax.
And Samoa Joe and the Joker.
Depending on who the Joker is.
I'm going to go with Joe.
Okay.
I'll
go with whoever the Joker is.
Right? So now you got, I'm going to pair O'Reilly and Joe and Darby and Cole. Cole beats Darby, and it's Joe and Adam Cole.
Okay.
Maybe this leads to a title match.
I'm going to go Fénix. Beat Fénix over Darby and Joker over Harwood. And then it's
so whoever the Joker is. Okay, interesting.
And I'm going to go, I'm saying the Joker's going to win the whole thing, and I think that it's going to be Joker versus Fénix.
I mean, but Harwood, the whole Bret Hart connection, you know, the Hart family connection, I think he might have to be in that main event.
Harwood.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He might have to be in it. Interesting. I'm curious. Let's see what happens.
Well, Rampage, also,
yeah,
you have I guess you can consider it a built-in storyline where Samoa Joe technically retired Tyson Kidd, who was part of the Hart family, and maybe Claudio, maybe the Joker is Claudio to get his revenge since they were like,
you know what? I think that is such a meta. That's such a brilliantly meta way to book it.
But do you think they'll pull the trigger on that?
I don't think so. I don't think anybody thinks that deep, especially in wrestling. Listen, dude, I would hope so. True. If it is Claudio, I think that's really smart booking. I think that kind of like everything ties in reality, which is cool.
I like what you said there where, you know, like maybe it doesn't happen in wrestling because to that point, 10 minutes ago, we were like, yo, you see how big this dude was? Yeah. Oh, that's all we care about.
You see, he was oiled up and tan.
Just big.
5-6 Rampage this Friday. Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter versus Toni Storm and Ruby Soho. Where has awesome. Ruby Soho been?
I don't know.
They don't
Rampage.
I don't know. You got to pronounce this name.
Konosuke Takeshita versus Jay Lethal.
Thank you. No, no, the Jay Lethal part I can't get.
Oh,
sorry. Jay Lethal, Hook versus JD Drake. Owen Hart qualifier match. Riho versus Yuka Sakazaki. I can't do the Japanese names today, man. And I'm really good with them normally. Can I tell you, I've taken so much allergy medications that my brain has now mush.
Allergies have been getting progressively bad year after year.
Dude, I can't. If I go outside, I washed out my car this morning. It had so much pollen on it. Within like 30 minutes, it's like covered in green pollen. Dynamite 5-11 in Long Island. You know what? I was thinking about going for my birthday. I thought about it. I didn't want to go. And now I'm like, maybe I should have gone. Maybe we should go. I don't know. If I could get tickets last minute, you want to go?
Yeah, next week, sure. That'd be fun.
Yeah, maybe if I get it. Dude, it's like 10 minutes from the house.
Friend of the show, Kyle, is going.
Friend of the show, Kyle's going. And also, a couple of our buddies are going. John Alba's going to be there. I told him, I'm like, listen, John, if you have some time, let's get a drink or something, you know?
You mean you?
Well, I said to John.
To yourself, like alternate you.
Alternate me, yes. I said it to myself. Yeah. I wonder if he's going to be wearing a blue jacket, a blue blazer.
You should bring a wardrobe with you. And
do the Spider-Man thing?
Whatever he's... You can probably figure out what he's going to wear and just put the clothes on in the parking lot.
on Dynamite, you got Owen Hart qualifier match, Darby Allin... quarterfinals, I'm sorry. Not qualifier, quarterfinals. Darby Allin, Jeff Hardy, Adam Cole, Dax Harwood, MJF Wardlow, contract signing, FTW Championship, Ricky Stark versus The Jungle Boy, and CM Punk versus the hometown hero, John Silver.
That'll Long be Island's a fun, own John Silver.
Long Island's own John Silver. You know what? I hope that's the main event.
Yeah.
AEW Double or Nothing 529 lineup is getting, you know, solidified at this point. Thunder Rosa, Serena Deebs, AEW Women's Championship, AEW World Champion, Hangman Page defends against CM Punk. Men's Owen Hart qualifier final. I keep saying qualifier, man. I'm telling you, my brain is mush. Women's Owen Hart final as well. All right. Q&A time.
Q&A time, baby.
All right, let's do this.
We're going to make it nice and easy so you can get out of here and go to work.
I probably have like another 40 minutes. I'm going to miss the train.
Kyle Masters, $5. Thank you, Kyle.
Hold on. Love, do you want to do 10 minutes? 10 minutes?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, 10 minutes. Love the boys. Hashtag Viva Las Vegas. Getting my tickets for Forbidden Door in 30 minutes.
Yeah,
I hope you guys have success. The pre-sale did go on today.
I'm not going to wait in line to get it. If I get it, I get it. If I don't, I don't.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. This is $20 from Shreyer Hashemi. Thanks, man.
Awesome.
Did I send
Thank
that?
You.
Did I send that properly? Let's try it again.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I see it.
Hashtag Viva Las Vegas. Hashtag Mad Men OnlyFans.
Yeah.
Dude, it's going to happen.
It's going to happen, dude.
I've gotten approval across the board for the marketing team.
Okay, good.
Just undies.
Okay, listen, I'll do it when I finally reach that point of getting super jacked where I just wear a Speedo.
So what? Who cares?
No. It has to be me in a Speedo with like really jacked and tan.
You want those veins coming out of your pelvic region into your abs.
That's all I want. That's all I want.
Question for Rick and Andrew. I don't know who Rick is. Rich runs.
Oh, Rick and Andrew.
Rich runs Ring of Honor and Andrew runs AEW. What's the one change each of you would do to increase viewership?
Oh, that's a great question. You know what? That's a fantastic $20 question. Do you want to go first?
If I ran Ring of Honor, I wouldn't go back to what it was like 20 years ago where it was all blacked out and red. I would make that shit like almost like ECW meets GCW, you know? But really, really intense competitive wrestling. It would be like a combination of ECW, GCW, and Bloodsport, you know, where it's just like really, really technical stuff that is also completely bananas.
Like upping like that pure tournament that they did, but on steroids.
But on steroids and also
a little gimmicky.
But yeah, but also everybody really having, I would put it on the internet at first and having everybody like really free reign to just go balls out with their promos.
All right, that's
you
cool.
know, like basically that, that's like, all right. Like Joe basically going like, yo, if you show up in my ring, I'm going to F you. I'm going to F and kill you. You
I'm
know,
gonna shit in your bed. I'm going to shit in your yeah. bed. He's going to do the Amber Heard. That's going to be.
Oh, boy.
If can, I ran can, AEW, well, go ahead.
Do you have a Johnny Depp impression?
Oh, dude, that accent is something else.
Isn't okay? it?
It is. I got to tell you, that is bonkers. I don't care how many times neither. You tell me that he lived in Paris and he lived in England, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
That man is from Kentucky.
100%.
No, he legitimately is from Kentucky.
Yeah.
No knock at Kentucky. Listen, we have Kentuckian friends. Sean Ross, by the way, Denise was ragging on Sean's accent. In the most hysterical way, and she was such a mean girl to him. It was hysterical. You guys have to find that clip.
I gotta check that out.
It was, you know what? It was the equivalent of your "I don't want to be on your podcast" impersonation.
Ooh,
that's good. What she was doing. If I ran AEW, what would be the one thing that I would change to increase viewership?
Yeah,
I think he's doing everything as well as he possibly can in this market. Mm. I mean, the reality is. It's going to be a slow growth unless they get a guy like Brock Lesnar or John Cena.
Yeah.
Right? Like, can you even get him? I think if he's smart enough to know. You know what I don't like that he did? So a couple fans tweeted Tony and they asked him to change the lighting on the crowd to go back to how it was because he's been doing those like purple lights. It's been like dimmed out. I thought it was too bright, the crowd. I thought there was too much focus on the crowd. It looked like an NBA game.
Well, you don't want to see the crowd in general.
I like to see some of it, but I like the ambient lighting that kind of hits it. It adds more of like a, I don't know, a modern feel to it. I didn't want to see the people in the back.
Well, you're a judgy. You don't want to see anybody's faces. You don't want to see anybody drink beers in the audience.
Put that beard down.
You want just everybody in pods.
Individual pods.
Individual covered. Pods.
We just eye holes.
Black t-shirts. Just eye holes. Black t-shirts. No eye holes. Yeah. Moving on?
Yeah.
All right. This is another $10 super chat from Shreya Hashemi. Hashtag Viva Las Vegas. Channel your inner Mr. McMahon and give each member of the Mattman team, along with yourself, a new single name, along with what gimmick they would use on the show.
Oh. All right.
I got one. We're changing your name from Mr. Gonzo to just Gonzo. And guess what? You're a pervert.
He's a pervert, yeah. And he does this.
That's it. That's his
game. He does one of those with the coat. I like that. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rich Stamboli, you would become Italian.
Of course.
You'd be an Italian man.
A stereotypical Italian man.
Yeah. Very Italian man. He would put me on a fucking Italian magic carpet. Man. Vince would put me on a magic carpet somewhere. That would be 100%. My entrance, dude. Dude, you know what? I got to tell you, a little offensive, but I'd be okay with it. If he could float me on a magic carpet into that ring every week, I'd be so fucking okay with it.
It would look cool. Would you be a serious or a comedy character?
I would take it so serious. I was like, I don't understand why you guys are joking. I would have the Sabu pants and everything.
And the curly boots.
The curly, 100%. My shoes are already like that. My loafers.
What would you call yourself?
I think you would just call me Aladdin or some shit like that.
Yeah. It would have to be like your first. It would have to be like and Aladdin, you know?
You know what it would be? My gimmick would be that I can't ride that fucking carpet. Okay. I just have no control over it. So like every time I get close to the ring, I just like hang off of it.
That would be funny where like you try different things, like you try to put a saddle on top of it and it doesn't work.
You try
to put like seat belts on, it doesn't work. You try to velcro your feet to it, it doesn't work.
And the backstage skits are me like trying to figure out how to go, you know, how to do this. And then I realized it's all in my head. None of it is real.
It would work for you.
It would work for me.
Let's see what else we have here. This is from Colonel Stutters on Twitch. Should AEW superstars stop saying they want to make the best division in wrestling and just let their matches and actions speak for them?
I mean, it's such a wrestling thing, right? Like, I guess so. I think that's not a bad... Listen, They did say that they have the best women's division yesterday.
That is true.
You know? Which I don't know. I mean, they could say that. I don't necessarily think so. But they have a great women's division now. They're very good women's division, but not refined yet.
Yeah. Let's do two more and get out of here.
Yeah.
All right. This is from Manny Santos. Hello, Andrew and Rich. Have any of you heard if there are more releases being planned with the earnings call today?
I know that there are more releases that are coming up. I don't necessarily know if it's going to be because of the earnings call. I think the last time they did it during the earnings call, maybe this is why they avoided it today. They did it on Friday or whatever they did to kind of avoid the mess with the rating with the earnings call happening.
Okay.
I'm curious. I have a feeling they're going to beat their projections, by the way. They're going to beat Wall Street with their projections.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. This next one is from friend of the show, friend in real life,
and
an all-around amazing person.
And the horniest of them all.
Horny Harry Turjanian. Yeah. Any word on what's going on with Ring of Honor having their own TV?
Tony's working on it. I think now that the deal is officially finalized, you know, like everything is signed and everything is done, we should probably get something soon.
Let's do one more. This is a good one. What's up, Horny Harry? I constantly miss Harry.
Oh, me too.
This is from Anmol Verma. Do you think they do Reigns and Drew at SummerSlam and Fury costs Drew? Tyson Fury. Tyson and Drew have been going at it for months now on social media.
That's a match in Wales, in Cardiff. Yeah. So,
I think so.
Maybe not. Maybe they just go into that. They set that up anyway, and maybe the thing could be like you lead into like Tyson's like, I want that world champion. I'm already the world champion. I want the wrestling world championship also. And Drew doesn't win it, and maybe Tyson's whole thing is like you couldn't cut the mustard.
Or what if Drew gets that fluke victory over Reigns, and you know what they love to do in international markets? You put your hometown, you put that belt on your hometown hero, right?
It's all possible. Drew takes
that belt, takes it overseas, loses to Tyson Fury.
Oh my god!
And then you get Tyson Fury versus Roman Reigns.
You know what?
Which is a good marquee match.
I would think they would do that if the titles were split.
Okay.
But you know what, man? You want to be on SportsCenter. You want to be
exactly.
every you know you could kind of recapture that Ronda Rousey thing because Tyson Fury just had a he just defended his title. I think he's done. I think he said that he's finished. The world champion in boxing, he could become the world champion in wrestling. And now, would that be the first one? It would.
I think
that
so.
Would be a first of you know, maybe they haven't thought of that.
Headlines. Well, if they're listening.
They
know
are.
Where you got that idea from.
Yeah, interesting stuff. Instant pre-sale sellout, by the way.
Wow.
For AEW New Japan Forbidden Door Show at the United Center. Less than 40 minutes. Mostly
Good
because
Lord.
AEW didn't release every ticket initially. Well over 20,000 people are in the queue.
Wow.
They did hold back some sections for the general public sale. Yeah, they're done. They sold everything.
They're
I think.
Done.
Wow.
Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day. By the way, the current setup is for, I think, 14,000.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. 14,000 people in that building. All right. I think that's it. We got to go.
That's it. Let's get out of here.
All right, man. I'll see you guys later. Bye,
Love
everybody.
You guys.
Love you.